And by the name of Samson.
So, have any of you known somebody that was just naturally good at something? Like, it just... Hey, I didn't say brag about it. Oh, okay. I was giving you a hard time. It's like Tristan. He turns on YouTube, and next thing you know, he just plays the piano. It just happens. Tristan, tell me about him. If they're not in this room or you don't want to embarrass them, it's fine. Yeah? Anybody else? Somebody that's just really good at something? Or everything? Yes, Danica. I'm sorry. I don't acknowledge people that are rude. Go ahead. Softball? You are? You're just like naturally good? I don't believe you because I don't have a schedule so that I can come see you play. You're so good you don't play? We'll talk about that. So, all right, go ahead, Savannah. Okay. So, what about like the smart kid? What about the smart kid in class that, like, they sleep all day and then somehow they make straight A's? And is it, but is she one of those that sits there and studies like 12 hours a day, or is it just like nah? Every what? Brain pop? All right. Anyways, back this way. Enough of the brain pop. It's going to make my brain pop. All right, you can teach me. So here's the deal. I had a friend that in high school that was that way. Like literally everything that he touched, he just naturally excelled at. He ends up getting a scholarship to go to college, goes to college. He's there for a semester. He's only on a partial athletic scholarship, but it's contingent upon his grades. Now, the guy was smart, don't get me wrong, but he had to maintain good grades in order to keep his scholarship. About Thanksgiving, he comes home, and we're just sitting there talking, and I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? And he's like, dude, I think I'm going to lose my scholarship. I'm going to lose, you know, everything that there is. I'm like, why? What's going on? He's like, this is hard. I was like, dude, that's not possible. You are literally the most amazing person I've ever met. He ran track, played basketball, played football, baseball, and soccer all in high school while maintaining a straight-A average. The dude was incredible. I was like, so how is it that you're going to lose everything? He's like, it's hard. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So came home for Christmas and just never went back. He just knew, like, it was over, and he never went back. The problem wasn't that college itself was hard. The problem was he refused to ask for help. Like, it got to that point where he just couldn't sleep through class and make A's anymore. And instead of being like, hey, I need some help or asking questions or whatever, he just quit. So there comes a point in every one of our lives, either in different situations or life in general, where we realize that we can't do it on our own. And that's a scary place to be. Like, it's uncomfortable to know I'm not smart enough, I'm not fast enough, and that my best isn't good enough to be at whatever level that I need to be at. So the other part of that, though, is when you finally turn around and say, I'm not good enough, it's actually freeing. Like, it's super scary to get there, but it's freeing at the same time because you finally have this chip that's been riding on your shoulder that you just kind of set down for a minute. And instead of having to naturally perform at this unbelievable level, it's like, hey, you're human just like everybody else. And so getting that help isn't such a big deal. So, again, talking about Samson, we're going to continue that. This is the last week. We'll be done with Samson so we can move on to some other crazy guy in the Bible. So, we're going back to Judges 16. So you can start heading that way. Here's the deal. Where we got last week, the Philistines finally capture Samson. Okay? He rolls around with Philistine woman number one. Bunch of people die. Foxes are burned. Crops are burned. All kinds of issues. He doesn't learn. Hooks up with a Philistine prostitute. Almost gets killed there. Leaves her. Still doesn't learn. Meets Delilah. Three times she asks him, hey, what's the secret? Three times she traps him, and the fourth time he's finally like, you know what? It's probably a good idea if I tell her the truth. I don't get it. So, again, Judges 16:17, it says, no razor has ever been used on my head. So she shaves his head. The Philistines come in. They capture him. That's where we're at. So we're going to pick up verse 21. That's where we're going. We do. It's really heavy. So it's okay. We're not getting wet in here. So, 16? 21? 156, for those of you that didn't bring your own Bibles. All right, so here we go. Verse 21. So the Philistines captured him and gouged out his eyes. They took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and forced to grind grain in the prison. But before long, his hair began to grow back. So here's the deal. This whole gouging out the eyes thing is really kind of crazy. Like, it's not this idea of, okay, you know, take a sharp knife and, like, stab you in the eye, and that doesn't happen. Okay, it was literally a form of torture. And the Romans took the idea for a lot of what they did from some of the stuff that the Philistines did written in here. They took a spoon. Okay? Roxy's like, I don't want to hear this. Okay. Took a spoon, stuck it in the fire, got it red hot, stuck it in the eye socket, behind the eye, and popped it out. Now, here's where it gets real bad, okay? You thought that was bad. Here's where it gets real bad. You would think that they're going to do both of them, right? And you would think that they'd just do the second one while the spoon was hot. Oh, no. They would wait until you got to experience the fullness of this one being gone. And then they would do it all over again. So you got it double time. Like, this was How long what? It varied. I mean, it could have been, because you've got... Yeah, I mean, they let a lot of the pain go down. Okay. No, it's all good. Anyway, so this was humiliating. Like, not only is he walking around blind, but it wasn't like born blind, so he just can't see. Like, his whole eye area here is like burned and scarred and jacked up. So then, because that's not bad enough, okay? Huh? Yeah, he's ugly. Luckily, mirrors weren't a thing at that point, really, so he didn't know he was ugly. But he was blind. Yeah. So, not only that. So, they made him grind grain. Okay? What does that mean? There's a massive, like, I don't even know how to put this. Like, picture a table kind of thing the size of this room. Okay? This massive, like, cylinder-looking concrete thing. And it had a pole that went down into like a grinding thing in the ground. Coming out of that cylinder was a massive metal bar. He had to take this and walk in circles. Like, turning that big concrete cylinder thing is what ground the grain in the ground. And he had to walk in circles all day long doing this. Normally, this was reserved for ox. Because he's chained to it. Yeah, to the machine. Like, that's what he did all day long. This was his job. Like, for real, like, that's what he had to do all day long. Normally, they let oxen do this. But they were trying to humiliate him. So the thing is, they weren't just trying to humiliate Samson. Their goal was to humiliate God, too. They had this thought process that because they defeated Samson, they defeated God. So here we go. We pick it up. Verse 23. The Philistine rulers had a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. They said, "Our God has given us victory over the enemy Samson." Now, I actually thought about kind of telling y'all what went down in these festivals, and then I realized I'd get fired because it's straight up rated like NC-17. Like, this was some crazy bad stuff that goes on in these festivals. This is how they worship their God, okay? So next time you think singing sucks, you could try it their way, okay? We won't go there. So, verse 24, when the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy to us. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power." Half drunk by now, the people demanded, "Bring out Samson so he can amuse us." So he was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between the pillars supporting the roof. So again, to them, beating Samson meant beating his God. They thought since God wasn't protecting him anymore, that Samson was like a symbol of the Israelites. And so because God wasn't protecting Samson, he wasn't going to protect the Israelites anymore. So Samson does what he's only done, as far as we can tell, one time his entire life. Verse 25. Oh, 26, sorry. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, "Place my hands against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them." Now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. So a whole bunch of people hanging out in this courtyard. 3,000 people on top of this roof. Okay, here we go. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. Here we go. We don't see this any other time in his life. "Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time." I don't know if any of y'all caught this back in 22, but it says before long his hair began to grow back. Like, they're so happy that they captured him that they're not paying attention. What was the source of his strength? Wrong. Nice try. God. What was the symbol of his strength? There we go. That's a trick question. Yeah. So at this point, like, this dude's getting his head shit every day if he's under my watch, right? No chance. No. Begins to go back. So here we go. Middle of 28. "With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes." Then Samson put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple. Pushing against them with both hands, he prayed, "Let me die with the Philistines." And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people, so he killed more people when he died than he had during his entire lifetime. He finally took the opportunity and admitted he wasn't strong enough on his own. For the first time, he actually decided to listen to what was going on and not rely on his own strength and power. Like, kills a lion with his bare hands. Chases women on his own. Ignores everybody and everything around him because he's got the power, the strength, the wisdom and whatnot to do it all on his own. So God does more in about 20 minutes here than Samson had done in 20 years. All because God asked. All right. So my question here is, who is it that you're leaning on? Are you leaning on yourself, or are you actually leaning on God? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So here's kind of the picture of what's going on in this verse. Okay, let me show you. See, we have this cute little chair back here. I'm going to take this chair. What'd you say? Okay. So, I'm going to take this chair. I'm going to lean this chair right here. There we go. Somebody want to come climb on this chair real quick? All right, go ahead, Danica. Just step on all the rungs and then climb up onto the stool. What'd you say? Why would I want you to fall? You don't want to do it? Why not? Why don't you want to do it? Step on both these rungs, step on the chair, use it as a ladder, and climb up onto the stool. No, go sit down. I'm not going to let y'all hurt yourself because y'all going to go to the hospital. I'm going to get in trouble. No. The issue is what it's leaning on, right? So you're telling me that if I stand here, up one, no. Yeah, I'm going to break the chair. It's uncomfortable because of what it's leaning on. If I take the same chair, is that a little more stable? So you're telling me that there's a better chance that that wall is moving than this stool?
This part was leaning right here, so this part would have supported it. If it was leaning against here, there's nothing else supporting it.
Okay, let me restate this. You're telling me there's a better chance of the wall moving than the stool. Y'all got me all confused. And it can't do that right here. I'm not going to do it. So, here's the deal. Since y'all are, like, somehow, one of these days I'm going to understand the teenage mind. So, if somebody asked you to figure out, like, an algebra problem, you're all like, huh? Okay, let me rephrase then. Since y'all are trying to be all, like, smart. If somebody told you to figure out a calculus problem, you'd all look at your teacher like, I don't get it. But when I give you a sermon illustration, it's supposed to be simple. Y'all overanalyze the daylights out of it. I don't get it. All right, next. I was going to use a ladder, but I figured that might be harder for y'all to understand. Maybe I should have done that. All right, whatever. So, Either way, the thing is, that's more stable than this stool. Okay? Yes, the chair can slip on both of them, either way. So this stool is kind of like us leaning on ourselves. The stool can slip, it can break, it can fall, it can twist, it can move. That wall's not going anywhere. Are you kidding me? Are you going to move the wall? You're telling me you pushed it enough to move the entire building. Yeah. Emily, go to my office and get me the drug test. Holy smoke. Yeah, Miss Gay really did give me a drug test when I first started here. Yeah, she's like, you may need this one day. I was like, yeah, it's a pee test. This is epic. Okay, back to the Samson guy, not the drug test, okay? Samson might have been on steroids, that's about it, okay? No, just kidding. So here we go. In the final moments of Samson's life, he realized that he didn't have a need to do it all on his own. He could actually rely on Jesus and it would be okay. So the question is, how long are we going to try and do it on our own? Like, how long are we going to try and go through life with no help from anybody? Parents, friends, teachers, adults, any of that. How long is it that we're going to try and do this before we finally stop and say, I need some help? Like, dang. If you're a Christian, you've already made the hardest decision that there is of admitting that you're flawed, you're a sinner, and you need help anyways. So why do we sit and hold these other parts of our lives back? Like, I don't get it how we sit and pray and it's like, God, help me with my school test, but we're not going to pray, help me with my relationship with my parents. Like, why do we do that? Like, which matters more, your relationship with your parents or the math test? What? Yes, Risa, which one's more important, your relationship with your parents or the math test? You don't. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's the question. In what areas of your life do you need to start leaning on God more? Okay? Don't answer. Take it to your small groups. Y'all are nuts. You're all crazy. Oh, dang. Compuzzled? About? Hang on, just a second. Ethan, go stop this, would you? The recording? You know the best part about that? You know how many, like, teenagers were there on Sunday?